The date was November 19th, 2020. The place was the newsroom, I believe, at the legislative buildings where Dr. Brent Rusan and the Premier Brian Pallister do their press conferences from. It was in that press conference, it was another briefing for Manitobans. This one brought new public health measures, which included limiting social gatherings to your household only. This announcement has caused us to be where we are today, in our homes, on the first Sunday of Advent. We are beginning our Christmas season incredibly different than any other year. Thankfully, we have been able to gather virtually and to celebrate together in that way, and that there's no indication that that is going to be taken away. And so we are grateful for that. But I can't help but feel that there is a question that needs to be asked this morning. Have you any room today? Several years ago, a church held a Christmas concert or pageant and with their preschool-aged children. Everything went along pretty well until Mary and Joseph arrived at the inn. The four-year-old Joseph asked, "Do you have any room for us?" "No," replied the innkeeper. "The inn is full." "But it's so cold outside. My wife is going to have a baby. Don't you have any place for us?" And the little innkeeper paused for longer. And then he finally said, "I'm not supposed to say this, but you can have my room." "Yeah, you can have my room." It's not how the story goes. This morning, if you've got your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And we're going to read the first seven verses. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So, Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." These words are so familiar to us. We've heard them countless times. And our passage for this morning says that Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths, swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, down through the ages, there have been a few misunderstandings about Christmas and about the Christmas story. First and foremost, Jesus was not born on December 25th. That's just not the case. It was more likely later part of the month of April or possibly even September. There is absolutely nothing in the Bible about Mary riding a donkey. There's nothing about it. It doesn't say that she rode anything in any place. So Mary riding a donkey into Bethlehem, it's all from the Christmas cards and Christmas carols. And despite what you've seen as a child growing up, Jesus was not born in a barn. He was not born in a barn. It was more likely a cave. A cave. When I went to Israel, the guide that we had told us that there was a common agreement that they've actually found the cave in which Jesus was born. Oh, and the three kings? Well, they were never called kings in the scripture, but wise men. And absolutely no number is given. Nobody knows how many of them there actually were. They didn't show up the night that Jesus was born. They arrived about 2 years later. And of course, most scholars take great pride in telling us that Bethlehem was too small to have a Days Inn. They didn't have a Days Inn. They didn't have a Motel 6. One scholar actually noted that the Bible never mentions an innkeeper. In fact, it's possible that there wasn't even an inn at all. Recent study notes that the Greek words normally translated as inn in Luke 2:7 is best translated as a place to stay. And I can't help but think of days gone by when we had district conference at our house or at our church. And at district conference, we would often billet people in our homes. That doesn't happen anymore. In fact, this year's district conference, I had in my living room. And so did many others around the district because we couldn't even gather. But the whole idea of billeting, sadly, this concept has gone away. And yet another opportunity for fellowship and the art of hospitality and the gift of hospitality has been lost. Now, the main focus of the scripture was this. There was no room for them. Whether it's an inn or a house or a cave, there was no room for them. The real question is this: why not? Why wasn't there any room for a very pregnant mother and her soon-to-be husband to stay? Why was there no room? Well, the scripture tells us. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And skip down to verse 3. And everyone went to his own town to register. The reality was simply that Bethlehem was crowded. Everybody who'd ever been born in Bethlehem came home. Everybody from the line of David came home. The problem was that Joseph and Mary were late to the party. Apparently, traveling while pregnant is taking longer than it should. And they were just late to the party. All of the available space had been taken. But you would have thought that somebody would have been like that four-year-old in the play. Somebody could have taken pity on this expectant mother. Somebody could have made room. But there was nobody. There was no room anywhere. No one made room for Christ. Was overcrowding the only reason there was no room? Or was this part of the plan? One of the reasons there was no room is because Jesus didn't fit into their lives. John chapter 1 tells us in verse 11, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. People rejected Mary and Joseph partly because they had their own lives. They had a place to stay. Mary and Joseph didn't. Tough. We got here first. In order for them to have a place to stay, others would have to have given up their place. Quite frankly, they couldn't be bothered. Letting Jesus be born in their house was, well, inconvenient. I've actually been noticing that people haven't changed much over the years. Jesus is becoming more and more inconvenient in our culture. I went online Christmas card shopping this week. I looked at 5 different popular sites that you can get Christmas photo cards. Hundreds of options, but do you know what was almost impossible to find? I noticed that there was all the happy holidays, all the Merry Christmas, all of those type of cards. All the ho ho ho's. But of all the hundreds that I saw, there was only 5. 5 cards that even mentioned the birth of Jesus or his name in any way, shape, or form. 5 of them. That's it. Only one of those 5 actually had his name on it, Jesus. Just one. There were no manger scenes, there were no wise men from the east, but Santa and snowmen abounded. Santa and the snowmen were in, and Jesus was out. And this isn't surprising because apparently somebody finally figured out that the baby Jesus is dangerous. The innocent baby born in a manger is a proclamation that God has, he became flesh and dwelt among us. Matthew chapter 1 says this, verse 22 and following. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And people have begun to catch on that the baby Jesus would one day grow up to be a man who would say things that would make people mad. A man who had been beaten and whipped and sentenced to die on a cross. All that would happen because Jesus had come to die for sinners. And it's clear that each and every one of us is a sinner. People don't like to hear that. The truth is inconvenient for the world that would rather not be bothered. There is no room in their homes, there is no room in their lives for Jesus to be born. You realize that we're facing the same challenges that Jesus faced when he was born? He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. People didn't get excited about accepting him then, and they're not going to get excited about accepting him now. And yet, followers of Christ literally turned the world upside down. People became Christians by the thousands. And they didn't even have a manger scene in their yard to proclaim their faith. They didn't have the Christmas cards. How could Christians possibly have changed the world without Christmas cards and decorations? How could they proclaim that Jesus had been born? They did that by talking to people about Jesus, by living their lives in honor of him. They told others why he meant so much to them. And in the same way, that's how we can change the world around us for Christ. We can use the Christmas story to do that, but we've got to realize that our culture isn't going to help out and help us as much as it once did. Just like the early church, it's all up to us to tell others about Jesus. We'll learn more about that in the new year as we continue on in Acts. The first reason there's no room in the inn was simply that Jesus didn't fit into their lives. There's a second reason, and it's this. His message didn't fit into their thinking. When you stop and think about the whole situation, there are some interesting facts that need to be considered. Mary was an unwed teenager who was pregnant. And thus her pregnancy had the taint of illegitimacy. And when she showed up in Bethlehem, Joseph was still betrothed to her. This means that they were just engaged. They weren't technically man and wife yet. And as a result, many believed as they looked at her that she either had been sleeping around or Joseph had gotten her pregnant before he married her. Either way, no one wanted her in their home. There was no room because they saw her as a sinful woman. A woman who is viewed as an adulterer. We have to remember, they went back to Joseph's hometown. These were his relatives. In a small town, everybody knows that gossip never abounds. And from his birth onward, the question of who his father was, it was everywhere. In those days, if a boy was illegitimate, he was often named after the town in which he came from. Thus, you never heard Jesus being called Jesus Ben or son of Joseph. Jesus ben Joseph is not a term you find in Scripture, ever. He was almost always referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. And if you remember in John chapter 8, in the midst of his ministry, his enemies jeered in verse 41, "We are not illegitimate children." Implying that it was Jesus who was the illegitimate one. And we can't forget that this was 100% expected by Jesus. He knew that they would do this. In fact, God set this whole thing up in motion of having a virgin bear the Christ child, that people would accuse him of being illegitimate. It was part of the gospel message. We all know who carried Jesus into Bethlehem. It was Mary. And if I'm right, Mary was rejected because of the sin people thought they saw in her life. And thus, people had no room for Jesus because they had no room for sinners. Ironically, sinners were who Jesus came to save. And sinners were the ones that Jesus used to spread his message. The gospel was spread by people who were imperfect and rejected by this world. The date was December 1792. The place was Salzburg, Austria. A boy named Joseph Mohr was born to his unwed mother. He was illegitimate. His father got his mother pregnant and then left town. Children born out of wedlock were looked down on by the Austrians, and they levied a heavy fine on Joseph's mother. In addition, because of his illegitimacy, he was banned from attending school. He was banned from learning a trade or even holding a job. But Joseph loved to sing, and eventually he became a priest. And one night he wrote a song that I am sure all of you know. The words are this: "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace." Silent Night is one of the most popular Christmas songs ever written. It has been translated into over 200 languages. And God used the once rejected an illegitimate child named Joseph to write a song of praise for the baby Jesus. The baby who faced rejection, was accused of being illegitimate. And God is still doing this. In fact, an illegitimate child is standing here today preaching. My point is this. God can use and will use anyone. Anyone willing to tell others about Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or where you've been or where you come from. God can and will use you if you let Him. And that leads to the third reason that I believe people had no room for Jesus. Babies are cute, but they really can't do anything for you. They gurgle, they smile, they're entertaining, but they don't do anything. You need to feed them, burp them, change them, love them, and even snuggle with them, but that's about it. When it comes to Jesus, a lot of people don't have room for Him because they don't see Him as doing anything for Him or for them. And there's a lot of people who won't become believers and Christians because they don't think they need Him, that He doesn't do anything for them. Have you ever met someone who is not a believer? And they're a nice person and they know it? That's a huge problem because they're nice people. And nice people don't think that they need Jesus. They quite often believe that God would accept them because they're nice people. They're not bad people. John chapter 1, verse 11 says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Why wouldn't folks receive Him? Why wouldn't people want Him? Because they don't need Him. They thought that they had other ways to get to heaven. And that's why the next few verses in John 1, what they tell us, verse 12 and on says this, But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John's very clear. Some people thought that they could get into heaven because of blood. In those days, if you were born Jewish, born of a Jewish family, you were a Jew. You were part of the covenant because of the blood in your ancestors. But John was explaining that you can't do it that way with Christ. The only way you can become a Christian is by accepting Christ. And John says you can't get into heaven by the will of the flesh. A person can't decide that they'll be accepting or accepted by God because of how nice or righteous they think they are. A lot of people think like this. They believe that if they're good enough and if they do good things, God will be impressed and they'll be allowed to walk right past the pearly gates into heaven. And their own self-righteousness will get them in. But the reality is, the fact is, they won't. They think they deserve to be saved and that God couldn't keep them out because they're nice people. And He couldn't keep them out even if He wanted to because they're good. They've bought their ticket into heaven by doing good, but that's not the reality. There is no room in Bethlehem for Jesus because He didn't fit into people's lives. He was inconvenient. His message didn't fit into people's thinking. Yet he came for the lost, and they rejected him because they didn't think that he could do anything for them. But there's one more thing. There was no room in Bethlehem because God planned it that way. God chose to have Jesus born in a manger in an obscure town named Bethlehem for a reason. It's a powerful story that still resonates today. And you'll remember the story of that four-year-old innkeeper at the Christmas play. His story is one of many that I have heard. The total unfairness of Mary and Joseph being turned down for a place to stay is so powerful that children rebel against it. Every part of the story still screams to children and to adults to this day. A baby born in a lowly manger because there was no room. It doesn't sit right. But that's the way God intended it. I know this because he told everyone that he was going to do it this way. Hundreds of years before it ever happened, dozens of prophecies foretold the birth of Jesus, that it would happen just like it did because God wanted it to happen that way. There's a poem by Grace Noel Crowell. It's called The Stable. It goes like this. I am so glad he was not born in some rich palace bed. I am so glad to know that it was a lowly place instead. A place where soft-eyed cows and sheep were sheltered and were fed. For the country born of earth, a stable will ever be a wholesome place where night comes down with its tranquility, a place of heart's ease and content for all who chose to see. And so I like to think of him first opening his eyes in that good elemental place beneath the friendly skies, that the men of the fields could find him there, as well as the great and the wise. That's the point. If Jesus had been born in a royal palace or a nice home, he wouldn't have been as approachable as a baby in a lowly manger. In the manger, the God child was approachable and accepting. And so the one question for you this morning is this: do you have any room for him in your life? I really hope that you do this morning.